Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, hey, this is it with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here at Redneck and I's Radio Live. It's Monday, December 5th, so we're getting right along here. I was looking at the calendar, and it's like 2 weeks. Like today, this week starts a new week, and then we got one more week, and then it's pretty much just Christmas week, because at the end of that week, it's Christmas. So technically, it's a little less than 3 weeks away. But we've got, where you start crunch timing and everything, trying to get home. You got about 2 weeks before you got to start worrying about that. And a lot of drivers, they get home now. So you're thinking about it, getting home, or if you're trying to make some good money until you need to be able to be home, then run hard for another 2 weeks. And then come 2 weeks from today, which will be the 19th, that's when you start thinking about heading to the house. So this is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. You can go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Links to all of our great sponsors and our social media accounts. One of the sponsors I'd like to thank, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Those guys are the little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They're drop-dead busy over there. They say they stay busy. They keep going. They take care of their trucks. They got good equipment. And like a few of the people that we know personally, they're always getting their trucks cleaned or polished or looking good. So it's just a good outfit where they like to take care of their equipment and they like to take care of their drivers, keep them busy. And that's the way. If you want to work, then that's the place you got to go. So it's one of those things where, here at Redneck and I's, we're always talking about how we need to make the industry better by making ourselves better. And we see it all the time to where companies are, they say they're good companies, and they got all these perks and all that, but then you go there and you sit. You don't get to work. So if you're that kind of person that likes to sit, you can go work for them. But if you want to work and make money and that's your idea of getting taken care of, then that's what we want that. We want to be able to work hard and make good money. That way when we go home, we're relieved that, hey, good hard work, good hard money made, and spending time with the family. And that's what we like to do. So Redneck and I's is all about that, and Load to Ride Transportation is all about that, too. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all the support. So things I'd like to get into is that there was a, I guess there's a book. There's this website. I'm not real sure if I've ever heard of this. I think it's like a more of a technical and science website, but it's the trucking industry has got involved in it a little bit. So that's something that I'd like to take a look at here. And it's on TheVerge.com. And, of course, it's got tech, science, and entertainment as one of its platforms here. And it has transportation as a subject matter. And the article reads, Why Automating Trucking is Harder Than You Think. And it says, an interview with Karen Levy, an associate professor of information science at Cornell, about her new book, Data-Driven, Truckers, Technology, and the New Workplace Surveillance. So might dive into that a little bit and talk about it. It sounds like it might be interesting to take a look at. So other than that, we're just, knocking things out over here and getting through the day. I'm on YouTube Live right now, but I don't have any video. I just got video of, our pictures and stuff. So go check that out. Like I said, it's Redneck and I's is the name of the YouTube channel. You can find the link to that at the website, redneckandeyes.com. And we appreciate everybody subscribing to the YouTube channel. It's been doing really great, and we're trying to make more videos and get more videos out to everybody. And we're just putting the show out here is what we're doing out on there. So you can also go to blogtalkradio.com and search Redneck and I's, and then Redneck and I's Radio is on there too. That's where you can get all the audio podcasts downloaded. And then this is a call-in show. So if you're out there right now, call in 515-602-9731. Tell me what you think, what's going on, and what you got planned for this week, what you got planned for Christmas, all that kind of good stuff. So check things out. Like I said, this is for the trucking industry and for you truckers. So hang tight here, and we'll be back in a second. It's Redneck and I's Radio.
Lazy yellow moon coming up to tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing in lightning, and bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, it's red. Cross the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road. I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call us at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com, where you can find all the links to our social media accounts and our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I like to mention, and that's Trucker Tools. Go check them out, truckertools.com. That's the app for truckers that you can download called Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You look on there, you can book freight, you can track freight. It's one of those, you know, load booking sites there. And what I would say about that is that it opens it up for, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you got to ask a question. Is it better to have a company like Trucker Tools where they don't control any of the actual brokers? They don't have, you know, they just post the loads. Maybe they could actually I mean, what I've heard is I've heard people have really good experiences with trucker tools, and they use it a lot. Everybody uses everything else. You know, it's not like you're using just one. So if you have your own authority where you're booking freight, you're using pretty much every board you can look at. And, you know, sometimes you could see some people put, like, you know, these are my top five, or these are my bottom five, or these are the ones that I hardly ever use. And Trucker Tools is up there with the most used. It gets a lot of traffic. But also, too, even if you're not booking your freight, you can go on there and plan your routes and get all of your information, like your stuff, like, you know, stops, fuel stops, maintenance, you know, breakdowns. If you have any trouble looking for any place to go to get something fixed real quick, or even if you're just looking for parking and they're looking at that stuff too. So go check that stuff out at Trucker Tools. You can look their website, truckertools.com, or you can download the app from your app store, and it's Trucker Tools. It's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. Appreciate everybody's support over there. I think, you know, what I was trying to think of, you know, is that we were talking about how the restrictions, you know, it's funny, talking about brokers and everything like that, it was Trucker Tools, you know, they said, you know, hey, we would love to have more restrictions on the brokers. The only problem is that if we have those restrictions, the brokers won't use us and they won't book any freight, which is it forces you, the driver, to go look other places for freight, because you got to go find the freight. And so what I'd like to see is the driver say, no, we're over here, Trucker Tools, where, you know, they're gonna care about us more than they care about the broker. So we're over here. If you want a trucker, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to get in that business. We have to turn it around. And we've said this for years. If you ever follow Kevin Rutherford, he is exactly this. Montauk is that you've got to turn it around. You got to make them want you more than you want them, or you got to make them need you more than you need them. And, you know, as far as it goes, truckers need freight more than freight needs truckers. You know, and that's why our prices go up and down, as we see. But still, if you want the rates to go up, if you want them to get up and stay up, you need to get in the business of making sure that they need you more than you need them. And that's how we get the prices up. That's how everything goes. You know, you talk about it. We want freedom to be able to run our trucks and all that. And the rules, the problem is there's so many rules. And what we see out there is we see drivers just go out there and just, you know, don't follow the rules and still pull the freight. And that's not right. So we got to get in the business of doing that and, you know, just handling that kind of thing. So yeah, look into that. And I just think that we got to do better at like creating where the brokers have no choice but to go where we want them to go, instead of us having to chase them. So yeah, check it out. Like I said, Trucker Tools, good sponsor of Redneck and I. We appreciate all their support. And they sponsor a lot of the online, you know, entertainment out there that we see out there as truck drivers, where, you know, you got Jacinda, Lady Trucker, and, man, I can't even think of the guy's name now. Anyway, I had dinner with all these people, and it was great. Had a lot of fun, so it was a good time. So let's check them out, Trucker Tools. So get into this here, this article I was looking at. It says, why automating trucking is harder than you think, an interview with Karen Levy, an associate professor of information science at Cornell. And she wrote a book, and it's called Data-Driven Truckers, Technology, and the New Workplace Surveillance. And I was wondering about the surveillance. I'm going to have to check that book out. I might have to get on Amazon and see where I can get that. It'd be good if it was audio. If she wanted truck drivers to read it, she would be wise to make it audio, right? That's how we do it. It says, as a Bessie of classic Hollywood movies has shown, truck driving is an occupation intertwined with American ideals of freedom and machoism. It says, but technology is threatening the trucker's traditional independence, seeking to reduce crashes, and federal governments issued a mandate in 2017 that truckers use electronic logging devices to record their driving hours, replacing pencil and paper logs that were easily fudged. I like the word fudged, because that's what we did. You know, it wasn't that we were totally lying. It was just, you know, just fudged. It says, are ELDs unwarranted surveillance, or are they a vital safety technology? The answer depends on whom you ask. but pretty much everyone agrees with their adoption constraints, the role of human drivers in the industry employing over 3 million people in the U.S. Karen Levy, an associate professor of information science at Cornell, explores the impacts of trucking technologies like ELDs in her new book. It says, as Levy describes, implementation of the federal ELD mandate led truckers, employers, and regulators to alternate between collaboration and conflict as they scrambled to comply, or at least make others think that they were. Says Levy emerges skeptical on just not just ELDs, but the autonomous driving as well, she writes. And I'll tell you like that. I've seen companies completely falsify ELDs, okay? As a truck driver, you get out there in the ELD, you see how you only have time left to drive, and you're trying to make that time. And I had a buddy of mine, he called me up. He said, man, I stopped. I only had like 45 minutes to go, and the log was pushing it like the ELD. I was going right up against the clock, and I was sweating it, but I had to go use the bathroom, so I stopped. I went inside, used the bathroom, come back out, and next thing you know, I had 2 hours. It was like I had extra time. And so he said he called the company, and the company said, yeah, we saw you were running a little tight there, so we made it work for you. Okay, so the companies, they know they can do that, or they got a way that they know how to do that. So ELDs, they're completely, you could fudge, as we see the word fudge, you could do that on ELDs just like you can anything else. And you know how we do it. You see it all the time, truck drivers, they do their little, their truck stop stroll so that they're not going on duty because the truck won't go, the ELD won't put you in the drive mode until you at least go over 4-5 miles an hour. You know, some is 15. You know, and all that. So you see a lot of truck drivers, they'll put themselves in the truck stop stroll where they're going really slow through the truck stop, really slow. And other drivers that are trying to, you know, get through there at a safe rate of speed. Maybe some guys like to go a little faster, and that's not good. But the problem is that you see these guys going really slow. I mean, hell, I did it myself. I was in a big parking lot, and where I dropped the trailer and hooked the trailer up was on one side of the parking lot, and the fuel island was at the other side of the parking lot. And I just, and of course it was empty. It wasn't like I was holding people up, but I just kind of let the truck just roll, you know, and I stayed at like 3 miles an hour the whole way over there. And yeah, it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, the only way I can do it, the ELD is going to make me on the drive line, and I'm not ready to go on the drive line yet. You know, it's one of those things where, yeah, I could drive the truck. I'm legal. Maybe I need a little longer break, or maybe I'm just not ready to go on the drive line. If I stay off the drive line, then it's not eating up on all my time. So that's what we do, you know. And so ELDs are not, you know, we still have crashes. The crash rate was actually reducing without the ELD implementation. So when they say, well, the crash rates are reduced, so they were going down even without ELDs, you know, because when companies had drivers that had a lot of crashes, they got fired. So if you're not a good driver, you didn't last. You know, even as insurance companies were getting rid of bad drivers. So yeah. You know who wasn't getting rid of bad drivers? The government. Because your CDL didn't get taken away. If you got too many accidents, they didn't take your CDL away. You know, only if you got caught. Only if you got caught speeding. You can get your CDL suspended, you know, for violating like the drugs and alcohol stuff, or you can get your CDL suspended for doing flagrant speeding violations and all that. But, you know, like we always say, the rules got to be enforced in order for them to work. And, you know, we see that already. So she writes, it is true that humans have faults, but automating them away isn't a solution. There will always be a role for humans in so-called autonomous systems in their design, operation, maintenance, use, and oversight. These rules may look different than they did before, but the notion that humans can be eliminated from the system is fundamentally false. And that's true, you know, because that's the only way we know that we can still have jobs is that we get into the automated system ourselves. We learn either how to operate the trucks, you know, from just a push and button standpoint, or being able to, you know, flick some switches and fix a problem or whatever. You know, as drivers, we know if that's coming, then we got to be able to fix it. So the article writer writes, she goes, I spoke with her about her book and the lessons it holds in the iconic blue-collar profession that is a linchpin of the U.S. transportation system. Our conversations have been edited for clarity. She asked the question. She goes, how did you land on truckers and technology as a research topic? In 2011, I was a graduate student studying sociology, and I had a law degree. I've always been obsessed with rules, and I wanted to find a space that was moving from enforcing rules manually to enforcing them through digital power. I heard an NPR story that explained how a federal government was considering mandating the truckers keep their time digitally after 70 years of doing it manually. I got excited. Because that day, I went to a truck stop in Portland, Oregon. I said to myself, let me see what it feels like to talk to the truck drivers. Because I immediately hooked because people are so happy to share their life stories with me and are willing to explain things to me even though I had zero knowledge. I got hooked. I kept doing it for what's now a quarter of my life. Goes, in your book, you vividly describe the lives of today's truckers. Their mental and physical tolls are considerable, and wages have fallen significantly since deregulation 40 years ago. Why do truckers still want to do this? And goes, when you talk to truckers about why they do the work, almost all of them say something about how they don't want someone looking over their shoulder, and they want a job where they have some control over their time. And that's a big driver of it, but now it doesn't matter. You got people looking over your shoulder all the time anyway. And she continues and says, there is a romance about driving across the country and being in control of what you're doing. It's hard to find that in other blue-collar jobs. So a job, because a lot of truckers select into the industry, there's a strong cultural association with masculinity and pride in the central role truckers play in the global economy. And, I mean, to me, not necessarily I love driving. The camaraderie, I guess. I always liked it that, you know, it's kind of like just when I got into riding bikes, you see that people respect you in that area, you know. And in trucking, it used to be that no matter if you drove or not, you were always, you know, everybody's like, hey, trucker, what's going on? Nowadays, if you get out of a truck that doesn't have the right name on it, people, you know, snicker at you. So, you know, if you're a new guy trying to get into the world and you're wanting to learn the system, but you're driving a truck with the S on the side of it or a big orange truck, you know, you're not looked at the same way anymore like you used to. You know, even if you drove those trucks, you were still considered to be pretty good truckers because everybody was taught well. And now, you know, I would say that the lawyers and the, like, you know, Wall Street has taken over the trucking industry because it's about quantity, not quality. And it's about how many drivers can we get in here? How many trucks can we fill? You know, I mean, look at CR England. You know, they're now looking at putting four drivers in one truck to train, you know, to run team. They already got three. They've already got a truck, a Freightliner. And see, here's the thing. Like I said, corporate, Wall Street, everybody's in cahoots. So the company says, I want to be able to put three drivers in one truck. You got two beds, you know, but one bed's on the top. Now, the government says it's unsafe to sleep up there while the truck's in motion. Well, what do we need to make it safe? Well, if you put a seatbelt up there for one. Okay, hey, Freightliner, can you put a seatbelt in up there? Sure, no problem. As long as you're paying for it, we'll put a seatbelt up there. So now they put a seatbelt up there, a cargo net, whatever the hell you want to call it, you know. So then they're like, okay, so now we got one driver driving and we got two drivers sleeping. So that means that the truck doesn't even have to stop, you know, ever, hardly ever, you know. I mean, really, England, if you want to make it where it doesn't ever stop, just put all those extended sleepers in there with the hotel, you know, the kitchen and the bathroom and everything. That way the truck will never stop, you know. I mean, just, you know, maybe even they'll figure out a way for the truck to be able to go down the highway and it get refueled, just like those jet refuelers up there in the sky. You know, they don't care about that. That's why they want automated. They want to be able to just keep the truck moving. And they did that. They said, okay, we got three drivers, but the drivers don't like it because they have to share beds. So what if we had a third bed? That way, if they ever do get shut down somewhere where they got to wait on a load, because, you know, we're not going to tell the customers to get their loads ready on time. We're just going to make the drivers wait. Well, let's just put a third bed in there. Hey, Freightliner, can you put a third bed? Oh, sure, no problem, as long as you're paying for it. You know, so that's what it's come down to. I think it's corporate. The Wall Street is just taking over. And, of course, lawyers, because, you know, if you make – nowadays, you can't even make that many mistakes. Because if you make some mistakes, like as an old-timey truck driver, you would say, you know, hey, you know, you need to learn how to back. Your accidents are – you know, you've got three accidents, two of them are backing. So you're a good driver, you just need to learn how to back. So we need to learn how to back. Well, nowadays, if you have three accidents and two of them are backing, you're fired. You know, they're not going to put up with that. You cost money. You're costing them money. It's not about learning how to drive. It's about you costing them money. So yeah. This article continues on. She asks several questions. She gets a lot of things done, and looks like it's a magazine, because it's written kind of like the way a magazine's written. It's a great article. I got to read more of this and get into it. I'm going to have to search her book too. And in fact, I'll do that here while we take a break. But yeah, this is interesting. I might look it up. I might have to email this the professor too, and see about what we got going on. But where are we at? I'm looking at. I've been changing my music here lately because I've been watching some TV shows, and of course it brings back nostalgia. So it's just different kind of things like that.
I'm in love.
There you go. Whoop. Hang on. When I talk so long, the devices all mess up on me. Isn't that funny? There you go. Well, cool. Now we'll take a little break here. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this article here and everything, and see how things are going. But like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com, and don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. In fact, let me go check that real quick before I do anything else. But, yeah, everything's going good on there. I don't have any video of myself, but I got pictures scrolling through there and everything like that. So we're still on there on YouTube. Appreciate everybody doing that. And it looks like our sound's good. We got a few callers listening. So appreciate everybody doing that. And like I said, go check us out, Redneck and Eyes. Let me get here thing. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio, and it's 515-602-9731. Give us a holler. We'll see you in a bit.
Driving through Georgia in late July, on a day hot enough to make the devil sigh, I saw a homemade sign written in red, Ryan County Watermelon Festival ahead. Well, I wasn't in a hurry, so I slowed down, took a two-lane road a one-horse town. There was a party going on. When I got there, I heard a welcome speech from a small-town man. He said, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. If you sell the sun, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive, do the watermelon crawl. Started playing Watermelon Queen. She said, let me show you something that you ain't never seen. She grabbed me by the arm, said, come on, let's go. She dipped down, spun around, and do-si-do. She rocked back on her heels, dropped down to her knees, crawled across the floor, and she jumped back on her feet. She wiggled and she jiggled, beat all you ever saw. Said, this is how you do the watermelon crawl. She said, we got 100 gallons of sweet red wine made from the biggest watermelons on the vine. Help yourself to some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive, do the watermelon crawl.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, Common Sense Solutions for an Uncommon World.
Well, I guess the music game won't play right now. good deal. Well, get this worked out here. I don't know. Maybe I need to mess with my computer more here and get it all fixed up or something. I was going to play. Let's see where everything is here. I was going to play George Jones because I was going to ask you guys, have you guys been watching or have seen the new show that came out? It's called George and Tammy, and it's about George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And the first episode's out. It's on Showtime app. Now, if you upgrade on your Paramount Plus prescription, which everybody that listens to this show knows, the Paramount Plus, you get the 1883 and Mayor of Kingstown and Tulsa King, all that good stuff. Well, if you upgrade on that app, on the Paramount Plus app, you get Showtime on the same app. And so George and Tammy would be on that app as well. And it's pretty good. First episode comes out, and I was trying to find out if any of this stuff is real, the way it actually happened, because the way the episode plays out is George went over to Tammy's house with her family, and she's married, and I looked it up, and her husband was a singer-songwriter. They were doing a duet together, and of course nobody wanted him, they wanted her, but he was a songwriter, so he was writing some of her songs, and he's there with her recording, and George Jones shows up, and George Jones ends up recording one of his songs. Now, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but the way it played out is George was pretty much doing, you know, he just got divorced and he was pretty much doing everything that Tammy needed or wanted. He gave her his old bus and he, got her gifts and all kinds of stuff. And then he went over to their house and her husband got drunk and they got into it. And then when they left, you know, George is like, come on with me. And she's like, yes, I'll come with you. And I'm not really sure if that's actually what happened. I'm sure it's probably not exactly true to that effect, but it just seemed like that, you know, it was so funny. What was it? The guy yelled, her now ex-husband or her at that husband, he yelled at him. And he said, wherever you guys are going together, it sure as hell ain't heaven. And it was kind of funny because the show talks about how they're both, you know, it's the whole problem. Of course, you know, George Jones is singing at the Grand Ole Opry, and he says, you ever see me sober? I ain't awake. I don't even know if he ever said that in public. To me, back then, if you were talking, you know, they knew you were drunk, but you never like said, I'm drunk, you know, because the show starts out, he can't stand up. So the band needs him out on the stage, you know, and everything, and he can't walk. So they end up duct taping his knees straight so that he can stand up. I was like, man, that's crazy. I don't know. You know, some of the stuff they do on TV, you're like, nah, I don't think that's going to work. But hey, whatever. But it's fun. It's entertaining. And, you know, it's an hour-long show, and I bet you a good 20 to 25 minutes of it is just music. And that's cool. So I like that a lot. But also, you know, new episodes of Yellowstone are out. King came out, new episodes. That stuff's getting good. We got now this is Taylor Sheridan, the guy that was, you know, the brains behind Yellowstone, is coming up with Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone, right? Well, guess what? There's a biker gang in the Tulsa King. They're in Oklahoma. So, of course, it's got Taylor Sheridan written all over it because that's where he started with Sons of Anarchy. Now, I don't know if you know if he ever wrote or directed anything on Sons of Anarchy, but that's where he started as far as we know, as far as being, you know, actually on TV and getting his start. Now, he was doing a lot of writing and that kind of stuff behind the scenes, but, you know, I think what made him really big was getting involved with the Sons of Anarchy, and Kurt Sutter, you know, they got along with him pretty good, so I'm assuming that was all good stuff there. But now that stuff's getting good, and I'd like to talk more about it you know, give me a holler. 515-602-9731. And like I said, I looked at last week. We talked about some movies coming out this year, this next year, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I went online, actually, scrolling through some of the apps like Paramount Plus and HBO Max, all those, and there's Christmas movies, lots and lots of Christmas movies on there. In fact, if you don't know yet, the old Christmas Story, you know, the one with Ralphie and the Red Ryder BB gun, okay, the movie is out now where it's the guy, the actor that played Ralphie is now an adult and he goes back home and it's the A Christmas Story Christmas, and it's on HBO Max is where it's streaming. So go check that out. I haven't watched it yet. I'm kind of waiting for the Christmas mood to hit me, and haven't even put my tree up yet. So bear with me, but I'm excited about seeing that. It'll be a lot of fun too. But again, that's what I do. You know, when I'm not, when the weather's bad and I'm not out riding, I need to be here actually working on my computer and getting YouTube channel and everything all straightened up. But, you know, hey, movies are awesome. So that's what I get caught up on. And the stories, too. I'll tell you right now, okay, all those shows are great. And I talk about them because that's what everybody's talking about. But nobody's talking about Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods is the best show on TV. If you want to watch a good show about family values and about doing right from wrong, conservative message, Blue Bloods, okay? Now, they've got a bunch of stuff mixed in there, and it's kind of like the things that we don't need to worry about that much, but the good, wholesome family, okay? Getting back to family, getting back to right from wrong and all that stuff, it's a good show. It's a damn good show. You know, I mean, we get caught up in, you know, the whole Yellowstone stuff where the family's, you know, you got to think about it. They, you know, they're pretty much at each other, or they don't care, or they do things to piss each other off and all that. Well, Blue Bloods, they do the same thing, but, you know, they don't threaten to kill each other over it. So it's kind of, you know, okay, let's calm down. You know what I'm saying? So I think Blue Bloods is awesome. Tom Selleck is awesome. Donnie Wahlberg, awesome. And what was her name? Rachel? I forget the girl's name. She's the supermodel that had Tom Brady's baby. She's doing great on there. And the other actors that are on there, it's awesome. So just Blue Bloods is awesome. Go check it out. And that's on, is that on Paramount Plus too? Yeah, I think that is because it's CBS. CBS is hooked to Paramount Plus. So if you're on Paramount Plus, you can go check out Blue Bloods as well. I wish NCIS would get a little bit better. What's his name? It's Mark, right? Is his first name. And Harmon, you know, the guy that was on NCIS, well, he's not on there no more. And so the show's kind of trying to find its grip and everything. And it's still good. It's still got, you know, if you like military-related crime and all that stuff, it's what it is. You know, they get involved in the big terrorist stuff and all that. And it's just action. I don't know. There's not really a big message there as far as NCIS. It's camaraderie with, you know, working with people and all that. So whatever. But yeah, that's on Paramount Plus too. I'm a big Paramount Plus. I love Paramount Plus. They got a lot of good stuff over there, and they got some good original movies. So if you haven't checked them out, it's awesome. So like I said, tell me what you think. We're talking about automated trucks, and I was gonna go on here. I think this is the cover of the book, Data Driven. By Karen Levy. Karen Levy is in this, is am I right in saying, associate professor of information science at Cornell? And I wonder what associate means. Is that means that she's like, she does other people's classes? She doesn't do her own classes, or she's not in charge? I don't know. She's a professor, so you call her professor. What do you call on Friends? Ross he actually had a PhD and people called him doctor, but then when he was teaching a class, he was called professor instead of doctor. So I'm guessing professor has a certain, you know, what do you call it? Label or rank in that system. So professor is what it is. Let's see. And Karen Levy, isn't that the same name as the girl that had the dog? No, that's Megan Levy. That was that one. So Amazon, data-driven, get book, Oh, yeah, it's on Google Play Books. It says ebook. I don't know what that means. I'm going to see audio book. If I go to Google Play, it actually says pre-order. This book will become available on December 6th. You will not be charged until it's released about this ebook. So I guess the book just came out. She hasn't got it over to audio yet. So there you go. I might try to see, get a message to her and see if she knows when the audio version might be available or if there's going to be one. And we'll, I'll stay tuned with that. But, it's a big long article. I was trying to skim through it and see if I can find, you know, like some more tidbits or whatever. It says, when you're driving on the highway, do you worry about the truck driver in front of you causing a crash? And she answered, she says, in some ways I'm unworried because I've met so many hyper-competent truckers who've driven millions of miles without an accident. They have almost a fatherly orientation toward other drivers on the road, and they know those drivers make a lot of mistakes. At the same time, I know those experienced drivers are the ones most likely to be driven out of the industry due to surveillance technology. I write about it in the book. As a result, there's more of a push now to bring younger drivers into big rigs, including 18-year-olds. Those are not the drivers you want next to you on the highway. There you go. Looks like we've got a good intellectual person here that might be on our side. And that's what we want. We want what we know in the trucking industry as truck drivers. We know the common sense of it. And what we see is that when we look at the science side of it or the people that work for the safety industries, they're under the payroll or the thumb of the, like I said, the lawyers in Wall Street. So their policies are going to reflect the attitude of the people that are trying to make the most money. So just like she said, they're driving the older drivers out of the industry because of surveillance technology, because they want less, they want to be able, and you know, our friend Greg over here has always said it, they drive the old dogs out of the industry so they can bring in these new guys that don't know anything, and that way they can just pay them less money. I mean, that's what it is. We can pay those guys less money. And we see that all the time, that they say there's a driver shortage. Well, the driver shortage is in the OTR division of the industry. You know, a lot of the drivers, like myself, what we do is we go into a more regional aspect of the driving, or it might be a local or shuttle deal, you know, where we can actually make that. I mean, we get paid very well in those sides of it. But in OTR, that doesn't pay. You know, over the road doesn't pay. You don't get paid to sit as well as you should. You don't get paid to drive miles like you should, especially if you become an owner-operator, and that's what they tell you. You know, they push you to become owner-operator. Oh, you can be your own boss. No, you can't. That's a lie. And they still have all of that surveillance technology on the truck that you supposedly are paying for. They got you in a hook right there because they exactly got you exactly where they want you. They got you paying them to drive that truck. That's basically what it is. So, yeah. And like I said, these are the younger drivers that they don't go recruiting. Like, you never see the recruiting posters at the old mom and pop truck stops where all the good old drivers hang out. You know, they're not trying to recruit those drivers. They're trying to recruit the new guys, and you recruit the new guys by putting up your recruiting posters, you know, over down by the bus stations, you know, and stuff like that. Or the big truck stops where, let's just face it, you know, I avoid the big ones. I don't go to the big truck stops if I don't have to, you know? So, yeah. Winding down here, I was looking at a couple of the other ones that she says. She says, yeah, you're right that truckers resent ELDs and that a common refrain among them is that ELDs treat them like criminals. But you also note that 5,000 people die in crashes in the U.S. related to trucking, about 12% of all the crash deaths. He goes, how much should we care about truckers' feelings when so many lives are at stake? And she answers, she says, in theory, that logic would make sense. But the reason I'm not compelled by it is that there is no evidence that ELDs actually make anyone safer. In fact, the evidence suggests that the crash rates have gone up after the ELD mandate and that truckers drive less safely because they're so tightly supervised. It says truckers have long depended on the flexibility of being able to keep track of their time using paper and pencil. When you remove that flexibility, that means the trucker is less likely to avoid speeding or stop for a cup of coffee if he's tired. It suggests that the most important thing is to get from A to B on the road as quickly as he can. Studies show that speeding has increased since the ELD mandate and that truck-related fatalities have too. That indicates that this is not a good approach if we're most concerned with safety. I mean, is this? I bet you anything that this person is going to be driven out of her job pretty soon because she's speaking so much common sense and so much truth that the powers that be ain't going to like it. They're not going to like it at all. It says, how widespread is the use of driver monitoring systems across trucking? It says, quite widespread. Once you've built the capacity into the truck, transmit data back to the home office, it's not that much extra work to add another data stream. It's common to track fine-grained driver behavior like real-time speed, as well as more evasive camera-based or biometric ways to track aspects of the trucker's behavior or body. Boom. Goes. And she asks, she says, I was struck by your example of a smart cap that vibrates. Can you tell me more about that? He goes, yes, it does. A constant EEG of the trucker's brainwaves through tech integrated into a hat that is transmitted that information back to the supervisor. It's looking for signs of disruption or fatigue or irregularity. Because the goal is to protect these workers, at least according to the company's marketing. There's also technology that can flash lights in the trucker's eyes, as well as a seat cushion that vibrates the trucker back into alertness if they look like they're falling asleep. But don't let them stop and take a break. Right? It's like we can, let's just jar them to keep them awake, keep them from falling asleep, instead of letting them actually get rest when they need it. You know, I mean, I got a phone call the other night. I drive a day cab. So a lot of times if I know that I don't have to be at a certain spot and I know that I'm getting a little tired, I'll actually just stop. And I mean, I might stop for, you know, an hour or more. And so I just, you know, I got one of those neck pillows and I just, you know, take a little nap. And so I was napping and I woke up and I was kind of getting things ready. And all of a sudden the phone rang and it was the dispatch office. They're like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know, I just took a nap. They're like, oh, okay, well, we just didn't know. I said, well, I mean, you know, I don't know why you need to know. You know, that's the other thing. You know, I mean, they have all that real-time monitoring, and if they don't know, they just assume the worst. And it's, you know, well, I guess if your job is to assume the worst, that's fine. You know, but, you know, I don't call you that much, so I guess, you know, they were worried. I don't know. I just thought it was silly. You know, you have a thing to send a message. You could have just sent a message, you know. You know where the truck is. You know if it's running or not, all that stuff. So, and the satellite location is really that good. So you see it sitting in the parking lot, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been on that end of it too, okay. If I look at it and I see that the truck is not running and sitting in a parking lot, you know, then, and I know that the driver's time, it's like, well, he's still got time. You know, all that kind of thing. It's all about time. So the deal is that I didn't send any information in that says that I had made my pickup. But I did. I just didn't want to send the information in because then it sent an ETA. And then what the funny thing is that when you miss that ETA, then they call you every time. So I was like, well, there's no need to worry about an ETA because the ETA hadn't been set yet, kind of thing. So that's probably why they weren't wondering. All right, well, getting the winding down here, and I think we got to – let's see who's going to chime in.
Good evening, Ed.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Oh, just hanging out. Trying to stay warm. It's been cold up here. It was up 50 today, so it was pretty decent day today. It's supposed to be pretty decent all week.
Yeah.
Other than rain. It's supposed to rain next 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
By what you were saying. So now let me get this right. Now they want, or they're thinking about vibrating seats in the truck to wake you up, flash lights in your face around you to wake you up, or make you wear a helmet or a hat so they can monitor your brainwaves and send it back to dispatch to tell them that you're tired. How about just let them lay down and go to sleep, you know? Are you serious? Now we need all that to drive a truck. Oh, God, help us all.
Well, that's the thing is that we probably never would have been told about any of this technology had it not been for this professor that wrote a book explaining that these technologies are being researched, and just like she's saying, it's crazy because it's like the driver should. I mean, the problem is they're like hiring, like we said before, they're hiring these guys, paying them less money, saying you don't need to know when you're tired. We'll tell you when you're tired, you know, and we'll tell you. That just, you know, and that's what they're doing now. It's like we don't need drivers to know whether or not they're tired or not. We just need drivers to sit in the seat and do what we tell them.
Let's go back to the accidents.
Yeah.
They want to talk about accidents since ELDs and on-paper logs, whatever. Let's go back to age here. They're getting 18. They want 18-year-olds. And let's go back to age and years of experience. So let's check this out and do a survey on age of the driver, years of experience out there, and let's take their driving records, accidents, not necessarily the speeding tickets and overweight tickets, stuff like that. Let's take accidents into consideration. See how many of them, see what their accident rate and their driving record, see how they stack up to the newer drivers of today and see how that fares.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. Nobody ever brings that into consideration. I mean, I just turned 58 years old. I've been out here almost 38 years or right at 38 years. Yeah, I wasn't always a model citizen, but I'm telling you now, within the last, just as you don't say, but in the last, I can't remember how many years. It's been so long, never mind. Knock on wood. I haven't been stopped, haven't been DOT'd, haven't had a speeding ticket, haven't had a logbook violation, ain't been put out of service, nothing. You know what it comes down to? Behave yourself. Do what you're supposed to do. Run the speed limit. Hell, I don't even run the speed limit anymore. I'm always under the speed limit. Speed limit up here, most of the place around here, 70 mile an hour. 65 to 70. You see me, I'm right around 60, 63 all the time. Why? Because I'm the one, when I put the nozzle on the tank, I'm the one buying the fuel. Company drivers don't care. Just pump it in and burn it just as fast as they make it. They don't care because they're not buying it, or they think they're not buying it. They're buying it because when the rates go up, you know, when the fuel prices go up, the company's starting to looking for a way to get money off the drivers. You can bet on it.
Oh yeah, no. I said that when I was, because they told me, they said you can, we'll just open the fuel card up if you need fuel because you're driving more miles than everybody. And I was actually making a conscious effort to try to get cheap fuel because I knew that my run was new. And if my run wasn't making any money, they'd say, you know what, we're not going to do that run anymore. So I made sure that when I bought fuel, it was someplace that I made sure that they were approved of that was cheap, because that way I knew that my route was going to make money.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's the mentality that's not in the truck driver anymore. Like you say, it's just pump and go. Even owner-operators, lease purchase guys, pump and go, you know, because –
Yep.
And then even now, I mean, back when I was owner-operator, when I first started with Swift, you know, all of the discounts that Swift was getting, I never got. So right. I was always shopping for the pump price and not even realizing that there was an actual better price that I could get as long as I had a different fuel card. And that's the other thing that people don't know about.
Well, most companies that I've been with here, they're not mega carriers, so they don't get a big discount. Oh, maybe a penny or a couple pennies here or there. So I I'll go to Speedways or Marathons or these little mom and pop places, wherever they got the cheapest fuel, that's where I get it.
Yep.
Because that fuel is basically coming out of the same damn tank. You know, it don't matter. Pilot, PA, Brian J, they're all getting it out of the same damn place. You see Pilot and Loves and getting fuel. They're sitting in there at the racks getting the fuel out of the same damn tanks that each other's getting it. So you're not buying Pilot fuel. You're not getting TA fuel. You're getting regular fuel, but you're getting their price.
Exactly. Yep. But, yeah, I totally agree.
Pilot don't refine their own fuel. TA don't refine their own fuel, you know.
Yep. It's
They're going to refineries and getting it.
Yeah, that's the reason. Remember back in the day when Flying J had, they had their own fuel. Flying J was its own deal, and the guy told me, he said the reason why diesel was cheap back in the day was because Flying J made it cheap, because the guy that owned Flying J, he didn't want to sell it. When he sold out, or whoever sold Flying J over to Pilot, that went away. So
yep.
Yep, just like I said, I don't know if you heard me say before, the industry has now been corrupted by Wall Street and the lawyers, and that's
yep.
the reason why we're doing what we're doing. We got, you know, less pay, higher costs, and then just bad control over the trucks like it is because Wall Street is about quality, not quantity. I mean, they're about quantity, not quality, and the lawyers, you know, they're just like, you know, we want this top tier driver, but we can only pay him low tier money, and you can't.
Right.
You know, that's not gonna last.
Well, just like that railroad strike, trucks can go out here and pitch a bitch and raise hell and everything else. You know, here and now, they don't give a damn. Boy, them railroads started raising hell right there, and the whole damn world was gonna shut down. They busted their ass to give them exactly or whatever they needed to keep them working.
Exactly.
You know, they don't do that with us, do they?
You're right about that. Mm.
So,
well, man.
But, yeah.
I'm going to get to work. And
all right. I will talk to you later on.
Hey, yeah. Hey, before I go, tell Tiff, see if she can. I'm gonna see if I can, too. But maybe we need to get a hold of this professor and get her on the show.
Yeah, uh-huh. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Yep, because she's good.
Let her explain why everybody's got to do that E-log crawl every morning coming out of the truck stop. God, them guys irritate me doing that.
I know, man.
They come in the truck stop 30 mile an hour in the evening, and they leave out of there at 3 mile an hour in the morning. I mean, just crawling.
When I was over at Landstar, I tried to do that from the time that I hit the stop sign at the off-ramp. As soon as I come off this highway and hit the stop sign and the truck stop was across the bridge, I'd be creeping, crawling over the top of that bridge, trying to go off duty as soon as I came to a stop, go off duty, and then try to stay
right.
off duty the whole time that I was, on the
yeah.
bridge in the parking lot. So, yep.
At doing that, all you're doing there is got an owner-operator, somebody that ain't on D-Log behind you, wanting to beat your ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I mean, and also, it doesn't work because you're gonna hit a hill or something, and unless you've got an actual digital speedometer that can actually tell you, you know, whether you're going 4 or 5 miles an hour, there's no way to know.
Right.
You know, so right. the log, I mean, it never worked. So I did it about 2 or 3 times, and I'm like, it doesn't work. Stop doing that.
What? How much time are you really saving?
Well, you're not.
When you pull out of a parking lot place in the morning and you get to the, you know, get to the exit for the truck stop, how much time does that really, really save?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing is on paper logs, we knew that we could fudge, you know, 15 to 30 minutes because we would be leaving that at like 7 o'clock, but we'd say we left at 7:30, you know, kind of thing. But now you, I mean, it's like, okay, well, when you're actually trying to fudge the e-log, you're not really fudging that much time because you're going to get put on the drive line as soon as you go fast. So really, yeah, all you're saving on your e-log is only about a minute or two, you know? So yeah, I agree with you. E-logs, you're not saving any time at all because as soon as you get
research and stuff, Donnie brought it to my judge the other day. He said something and asked me if I'd heard or seen anything. I said, no, I haven't. I don't know where in the hell he seen it, heard it, found it, what. But where there was, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 states, whatever it was, that was trying to get legislation or something to get rid of the e-logs. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything.
I haven't either. I don't know where the hell he heard it, but who knows.
Yep. We'll look into it.
All right.
Cool deal, bud.
I'll let you go. I'll talk to you maybe in my evening.
All right. Sounds good. All right, now.
All right. Be careful.
Good deal. So, yeah. We're going to talk about more about this here later on, and then we'll see what we can do. But my deal ain't working. Let's see if this will work. Oh, no, there it goes. There we go. It's working now. So, yeah, redneckandeyes.com. That's our website. Go check us out. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call us at 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Last of the great sponsors I'd like to thank, and that's DPF Regeneration. You go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. That's if you need your diesel particulate filter cleaned or if you just need to buy new parts like the EGR cooler, EGR valve, charge air cooler, turbos, all that kind of good stuff. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support at Redneck and Eyes. So, yeah, we'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.